You're listening to another episode of This is 20-something. Welcome back. As always, I'm your host, Allison Carpenter. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 24 of This is 20-something. I'm your host, Allison Carpenter.
And I'm Jason again.
And we're excited to be doing another episode together.
Yes, we are. I mean, are you excited or are you stressed about talking about moving?
Both. I'm excited to do the podcast with you. Stressed just thinking about moving.
I mean, it's the most stressful time.
It's like literally one of the most stressful things. Like, isn't there some statistic that says there's like five most stressful things that you can do as, I mean, like a modern first world human being?
You can definitely find that Vox article somewhere. I bet if you looked hard enough on BuzzFeed, there's gotta be a BuzzFeed article about the five.
Some statistic that says that for sure. Well, yeah, we are going to talk about moving today because we just moved probably about 780 miles from where we lived before in Kennesaw, Georgia, to downtown Kansas City, Missouri.
What, 3 weeks after we got married?
Oh my God. Like, I don't even think even that. Let's look.
I think it was only a month. It was less than a
month. Well, yeah.
Got married on May 20th, and we moved on June 16th. I think.
Yeah, I think.
It was before my brother's birthday.
We also didn't get married on May 20th. We got married on May 19th.
May 19th. It happens.
Doesn't happen.
Yeah, it does.
I didn't want to correct you because he's always right. And then.
Listen. Our original date is coming up, so I'm still thinking that it should have been the 20th.
Our original date is a week from today, actually.
I understand that. That's what I'm saying.
Anyways. Thank God we're not doing that. Yeah, we moved on Father's Day, June 16th. So you were right about that one. So yeah, we moved literally like 3 weeks and 4 days after our wedding. And I mean, it obviously all worked out, but like would not recommend.
Would not recommend going into your wedding, not having an apartment set up, mm-hmm. and then using your honeymoon to book an apartment.
Oh yeah, that's what we did on our honeymoon. We stayed in a very nice hotel. We had a very good time. We had lots of nice drinks and nice food.
Yeah,
but we did have to spend I would say it was probably half business, half pleasure, our honeymoon.
And we broke the computer that we brought to look.
Oh my God, yes. Okay, I do not want to talk about it. That's where the stress started. Because we were trying to fill out our application for this apartment that we're sitting in right here and realized that our computer was busted on the way up to Kansas City somehow. So
great. Yeah, thanks. Thanks, book bag.
It was fun. But yeah, anyways. So we moved up to Kansas City and it was nothing short of a shit show, which is like every move kind of is, I think. But yeah. Especially like a move where this was our first big move. Like either one of us, we'd never moved as far as this. I mean, I obviously had moved from here when I was a kid, but I was like six. So I didn't really do I didn't do any of the moving. Yeah,
just
I didn't count
and
yet.
Complained.
Yeah, and cried to the Vanessa Carlson song, 1,000 Miles, and thought about my grandparents and my cousins that still lived here. But that's another story.
That's another story for another day.
Yeah, so we're just going to kind of give you our tips because while it was hella stressful, I think it would have been a lot more stressful had we not done these things. Probably would have actually just had a heart attack and died. But all right, so we're gonna start from, I guess, like, we're probably not gonna go in any particular order, but I'm gonna just scan over what we have and try to find like least interesting, but like most practical to like most interesting, if that makes sense. So like,
because there's so many interesting things when you're moving.
Well, not interesting, but just like, I feel like the things in the beginning are going to be a necessity to do, and the things towards the end are more like recommendations.
For your mental health.
Well, not so much that, but that's also another podcast.
Okay.
So the first one is plan gas stops based on when, like, when you'll need gas. So if you know how much gas your car can run off of after one fill-up, you basically, like, are, and they also have online the way that we found out, because spoiler alert, we used U-Haul, not sponsored, but we used U-Haul, and there's a conversion chart online saying this is the size of the U-Haul and this is how many miles it can run on one tank of gas. So we used that conversion chart, and we also knew that our car could go roughly 300 miles before it would need gas. So we knew that we'd need to get gas at least 2.5 times for just our car, and we went ahead and rounded that to 4 times just because we didn't know how much gas the U-Haul would definitely take. And that was helpful because we didn't end up, like, getting stuck anywhere or getting dangerously low on gas, because the ride up from Georgia to Missouri is full of a lot of long stretches of nothing and like just farmland.
Like 60 miles without
without a gas station, yeah. Without anything. So that is like, I feel like that's a necessity, especially if you're moving cross country, to plan your gas around when you're going to need it ahead of time. Not just like, oh, we're going to need gas in 50 miles, because you never know. And when, especially when you're renting a moving van, you don't want to, like, you know, break down because you don't have gas in a vehicle that isn't technically yours. So,
and you, that way you can actually plan what exits you're getting off at, and that way you can kind of plan what food you're gonna have too. Mm-hmm. So it's like you're on a long road trip. You gotta, I mean, McDonald's is great, but you kind of have the options when you get there. It's not, you don't want it to be like, I guess we're getting this, I guess we're just gonna eat QT food or something like that.
Yeah.
And then that way you can also plan, like, having, like, paying less for the gas as well. So you can look at, like, which stop is going to be easier to get the most gas out of.
Cause right.
Because you're trying to fill up a big tank, especially in a moving truck. But, I don't know, this isn't that sexy of a topic. Let's just move on.
Okay. So, the next one is pack sort of like go bags, like how pregnant people pack their hospital bag ahead of time. Pack a bag that is like just the essentials. It's like pajamas, change of clothes for the next day, toothbrush, and whatever else you need for just that night and the next morning, so that when you get to wherever you're going, you don't have to rifle through a bunch of boxes or end up going to the store to find something that you know you have packed away, just because it's all in different boxes and you're not even going to feel like unloading everything once you get done driving, and you definitely don't want to get back in the car to go to the store after you've just driven all that way.
And like, you want to change too, when you get just like sitting on, like, if you have, like, leather seats.
There's so much ass sweat that builds up.
Oh, God. You're just whole back. You can just feel zits forming and mm-hmm. just...
Yeah, you definitely are going to want to get out of those clothes. So it's for sure smart to pack, like... Because that
like just, vacation bags,
that
basically
just made it so easy for us. We packed, like, one backpack, I think, that had our stuff, and then another backpack that had the pet stuff, and that was it. But yeah, you just want to be set when you get there, and you don't want to have to think about rifling through any of your shit, just because you can pack like the best way ever and stuff is still going to shift while you're driving, and like, you can just do so many things ahead of time. But one of the biggest things, I think, is just make it a little less stressful for yourself when you actually get to your destination, and just go ahead and pack what you're going to need before you even leave.
Yeah, I would agree. It definitely helped for sure, especially since we were not even going to be able to unpack for the next few days when we got there. Because, I mean, we had to go into the truck for a few things, but, like, you know, it was just so much better to have clothes and just.
Mm-hmm. Even if you just bring stuff for just like the night that you get there, that is going to be so helpful because you're just not, I don't know, even.
And like put your laptop in there too, like put something that's going to entertain you wherever you end up.
I didn't mind like rifling through our stuff the next morning to get like the dog food and things like that.
Yeah.
But I also was really, really thankful the night before that we, like, when we parked the U-Haul, we didn't have to get back in it at all that night.
Oh, yeah.
That was really nice.
That thing was packed to the brim with it. Oh, my God. We had stuff busting out of that thing.
That can be the next tip. You can take care of that one because you're the one that packed the U-Haul.
Oh, my God. Packing a U-Haul. First of all, I have one person pack the U-Haul. You don't want multiple people. Like, you have people bringing stuff out to you. If it's available to you, you want to have one person with some sort of system packing this U-Haul. Because if you just have two or three people in there trying to set things up, you're just going to lose your mind.
There needs to be one person with one clear vision.
Exactly, yeah. Like, and I mean, it's pretty obvious. Pack the big things towards the front because you want to, like, you don't want to put big things towards the back of a U-Haul because that'll mess with how hard it is to turn and things, especially if you have a bigger one. But you also want to make sure you have...
By front, you mean closest to the cab, right?
Yeah. Closest to the cab.
I just wanted to clarify that.
Yeah. You want to make it as middle, like, you want to make the center of gravity as middle as possible because that'll help with just handling the U-Haul, because we're not professional drivers. We're not professional truck drivers. Like, I've been driving them for a while, but, you know, it's not something that everybody does. And, like...
But it's not something you're doing on a daily basis.
Exactly, yeah. And you just want to be able... If you're not going to use the whole thing, you want to be able to, like, make sure that nothing is going to move on you. Mm-hmm. So you kind of want to use as much, like, of the area as possible, even if you're not using the whole volume, which I mean, like, you want to be able to cover the bottom of it so stuff doesn't move.
You want to pack it from wall to wall, but it doesn't really matter if you pack it floor to ceiling.
Exactly. Yeah. That's... And, I mean, we ended up using
all
every
of
bit
space.
Of space.
Yeah.
And, honestly, if you're having to move a lot of bedding... You can use that to help secure things that are very breakable, like glass or TVs or anything like that. And just, I mean, that's...
Yeah, forget bubble wrap and just wrap stuff in sheets and blankets.
Yeah. And honestly, like, big jackets, anything that you're not going to use.
And that's what we did. And we only had two coffee mugs break, and they were, like, just haphazardly thrown in a box. Like,
yeah,
it
we
wasn't,
found them late.
It wasn't because they, like... Shifted. It's not because they shifted while we were moving. It's because when we packed them, we just packed two glass or ceramic mugs right on top of each other. I'm sure them bouncing up against each other just made them break.
Those kinds of things happen. Like, you gotta.
But in the grand scheme of things, like, that's pretty good. We didn't break any mirrors. We didn't break anything like that.
Yeah.
Any glass.
Sure. It's just. It's so easy to pack something like that wrong where everything's just shifting everywhere. And you just want to be able to, like, secure it with the things you have. And then there's no reason to really pay money for any of that extra stuff that they give you, because unless you have an open air truck that you're driving when you got to strap things down. Other than that, you shouldn't really have to pay for bubble wrap. You have some sort of jacket that you can wrap this in. Mm-hmm. You're moving it anyway.
And
don't
not just
use it.
Paying for bubble wrap, but, like, just it's so bad for the environment. If you can avoid using something like that for, like, a one-time use the way that a move is.
And it just makes your trash when you move in, like, more. You're going to have so much more trash for using, like newspaper or whatever. Like, I've just always tried to use clothes and
pillows.
Just things I'm already going to be moving.
Yeah, and then you're not wasting any space on packing materials, because your packing materials are things that you're going to move anyway.
Exactly.
So.
And, like, I mean, there's just a lot of little things like that, but as long as you can secure it and try to fill up the space as much as possible, and then, I mean, honestly, just using the things that you have, and it works so much, better than you think it will, honestly.
Yeah. Okay, overcompensating in your budget for gas and emergencies. So this kind of goes along with what we were talking about earlier, planning your gas stops. Plan, like calculate how much it takes to fill up your car, and then multiply that by like 2 for your moving vehicle, and then multiply that by the amount of stops you're going to take, and that is how much you need to bring for gas plus like $50 to $100 so that you can fill up 1 or 2 more times in case weather's bad and you get, you know, stuck in traffic or anything like that. You just want to make sure you have extra. Or like for emergencies, if your tire pops or if, you know, just if it anything happens, you know.
Or even if like you planned your trip and you've planned all these stops and you actually do the trip and it gets to night and you can't drive anymore, you got to be able to like
book a hotel room,
like a cheap hotel room. And that's what I mean by
emergencies is like you don't know what you're going to run into, especially if you're moving cross country, and you just want to be prepared for the worst case scenario. So yeah, you want to leave a considerable amount of wiggle room in your budget just for anything that might pop up, especially if you're moving cross country. You just don't know what's going to happen. And in a lot of cases, you're going to be driving in the dark and in unfamiliar states and cities and small towns. And you just don't want to be in a situation where you've got yourself, whoever you're moving with, and all of your belongings and be shit out of luck because you didn't bring extra money.
Yeah, and then if you don't have to use it, you have some fun money.
You have extra money.
You have some fun money when you get there.
So if you are using a moving truck, especially if you're using U-Haul, you are going to want to pick the truck that has the right measurements for the place that you're moving into, not the place that you're moving out of. So if you're moving into, like, example for us, we had roommates, and we were living in a four-bedroom, three-bathroom house with roommates. And so we weren't going to get, like, a two-bedroom home U-Haul, which is, like, the equivalent of how much stuff we had, because most of, like, the kitchen stuff and, like, the living room and, like, furniture and things like that were ours in the house. And so when we were moving, we just knew that since we were moving to a one-bedroom apartment, since it was just going to be the two of us, we needed to get the studio to one-bedroom apartment size U-Haul and not the, like, 2 to 4 bedroom house size U-Haul, because we ended up bringing the perfect amount of stuff to be able to fit in this apartment. And I credit a lot of that to the fact that, like, we chose the U-Haul based on the size of the place we were moving into. And I think people just kind of like disregard those like suggestions sometimes, but like in my experience, they've always been pretty spot on.
Well, yeah. And it's like, I don't know. There's something so much worse about moving in somewhere and finally getting everything in there and being like, where is the rest of this stuff going to go?
Like, yeah.
Like, I'm in an apartment. I don't have any storage besides the closets that we have. And, you know, it's just like, I'd rather, like, have to get rid of things that I'm not going to use and before I move, then have to get rid of things I'm not going to use after I move.
Yeah. And that brings us to the next point, which is after you've done your garage sales and you've given stuff away to friends and family and you just have a bunch of leftover stuff that you know that you don't want to bring with you, but you don't know who's going to take it, find a junk removal service. And a lot of them that are locally owned most of the time will also try to sell some of your stuff. So the guy that we hired was going to try to sell some of our bigger pieces and, you know, he was going to just get rid of the rest. But he ended up cutting us a deal because he was just like a locally owned guy and he wanted to have reviews on Google and Facebook and stuff like that. So he told me if I wrote him a review, then we could pay $100 for our service. And we filled his like his trailer bed
and his truck bed
up with stuff because we had furniture that we weren't going to take and that nobody had bought or wanted to take from us. We had like litter boxes that we were just like, this is an old litter box and it's used. Like, we're just going to get new litter boxes when we move. And just little things like that, that I was like, I don't know what to do with this, but I don't want to bring it with me. It was so much easier and honestly a lot cheaper than having to upgrade our U-Haul to accommodate that stuff.
Well, and we would have nowhere to put it. Like, that was the other thing. It's like, once we got here and got everything in, if we didn't do that, we would have had nowhere to put these things, and we would have just had to do the same thing here, just but ourselves, you know?
Well, and we wouldn't have, like, really known, like, we didn't know this area very well, and, you know, I think it's a lot more comfortable to get rid of stuff and do things like that when you know the area and know, like, because I could think of, like, 4 or 5 companies to call right off the bat just from, like, driving around our town, you know?
Yeah, and, like, if you're not going to move your washer and dryer, try to take those things to the recycling place.
Yeah, that's another thing, is like any big appliances and things like that you have, take to like scrap metal or like recycling places because they'll pay you for them.
And it's not like, usually it's not too much, but it's more than you'll probably get than trying to sell them, because if you're trying to sell an old washer and dryer, you can get those things for free on Craigslist. So like, it's just one of those things where you just got to get it out of the way. And if you have a truck, just go ahead and take it over there. There's probably one in your hometown. There's probably one in every town where you can just take it. It's not hard. They unload it for you and everything like that. And you get like, I think we got $20 for our washer and our dryer, and you know.
And it feels a lot better than knowing that all of that stuff is getting thrown away.
Like
the fact that it was going to be stripped and made into something else just made me feel a lot better. Even though we did get rid of a lot of stuff, because that, I think, unfortunately, that is pretty inevitable when you're moving. But I think that was like a big thing, the fact that none of our like big appliances were going to be going to a landfill.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. The next tip is, if you are moving with pets, pack all of your stuff, every bit of like, you know, material objects that you have in your moving van. And then the other car that you're driving is just the pet car or just the kid car. Like, this can go for pets or children, but if you were...
Because they're the same.
Well, no, but I'm saying this tip goes for pets or kids. You don't want to have your pets or your small children, like, messing around in all the boxes that you just packed and all of the stuff that you're trying to get from point A to point B. So devote your moving truck, obviously, just to your physical objects, and then the car that you're driving can be the kid car or the pet car or whatever.
Well, and that way you don't have to really worry about, you know, anything in the car either. You can just only worry about the animals and or the children and, like, entertaining them and making sure they're okay. And then you have one person only thinking about the that stuff, and then there's another person only thinking about the actual stuff that's in the truck. Because, like, you know, just you... It would have just been so much more stressful if, you know, me and you were driving together and pulling, like, a U-Haul, like, trailer or something. And so we're just thinking about everything together. Yeah. And we're like, oh, gosh, what are the cats doing? And what are the dogs doing?
We hit pretty bad weather at one point, too. And I can't imagine if we'd been, like, towing a U-Haul trailer. Yeah,
that would have been a nightmare.
But... yeah, so that would be my tip for that. If you've got kids or pets in your life, devote one car to just that, and then the U-Haul to all of your physical belongings. Going along with that, I would also say consider having a one car lifestyle, at least at first. And a lot of you might already be doing this, but Jason and I decided that when we moved, since we were going to be moving into the city, that we would be just using one car. And so we left my car with my parents, and my little brother is now going to be driving it when he turns 16. Consider a one-car lifestyle, just because, I don't know, it's better for the environment, of course, but it also was a lot less stressful that we didn't have to worry about towing one of our cars behind our SUV or behind the U-Haul. Like, only having to caravan with the moving truck and the Jeep was enough stress for us, and I would not have wanted to tow my Kia.
Yeah, I wouldn't have let you. Are you kidding me? No.
Like, well, no, I mean, like, I wouldn't have wanted either of us.
Yeah.
Not just me.
Yeah, no, I understand. But, like, I don't know. It just seems... Trying to go down to one car, like, I understand that not everybody can do that, but it, especially if you're having to drive across the country and you only have two people driving, honestly, just leave one car and just plan to come back for it, you know? Because it's just going to be so much easier to do it that way.
Next tip is, instead of a moving company or hiring movers to help you, get a couple of really good friends and just pay their way back to wherever they're helping you move from. Because, like, paying your friend's way back home is going to be a lot cheaper than hiring movers, you know, in both of your cities that you're moving from and then to. And also, it's just, I think, a lot better for, like, your emotional health if there's some normalcy in, you know, those first couple of days. Like, two of my best friends were the people that came with us, and it was just really nice to have, like, because everything was just so new and so overwhelming, it was really, really nice to have a couple of people that I was like, okay, these faces are familiar, and this is like a piece of, it's kind of like a piece of home that we got to bring with us for the first couple of days. It was very comforting.
Well, yeah, and then you also have, you already have friends there if you don't have friends in the new location. So you can actually go do some things without, like, it just being you and your kids or you and your significant other, which is always great to have that time with them. But it's also like, we just did this super stressful thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I really want to talk to only you right now.
Well, and it kind of, I think if it had just been me and you, we would have just been here unpacking the way that we were after they left.
Oh, yeah.
Like, after they left, we just went into serious unpacking mode and decorating and stuff like that. But when they were here, we got to kind of, like, have an excuse to go explore around a little bit and get to know our neighborhood a little bit better because, like, our friends wanted to. Our friends wanted to see where we were living, and they wanted to go to the bars we were going to be going to and eat the food that we were going to be eating. And so I think it's good to give yourself permission to go do those things, and having, you know, your friends there who you kind of have to entertain in a way is a really good excuse to be like, oh, I have to go to this restaurant and eat dinner tonight instead of eating cereal out of the box, you know?
Oh, yeah. Especially when you get to go eat some good Italian food and just accidentally order enough food for a family of 12 and there's only four of you. And then
that
you just eat
best
pasta for the next 2 weeks.
Mm, I want to go to Anthony's so bad. That was so good.
We were like, why is this pasta $26?
Well, and
they were
we wanted to get some, like, good, cheap Italian food. And there's this place that's, like, low-key run by the mafia.
Which is, like, not a thing anymore, but, like, it feels like it.
But back when it first opened, it was. And so, like, this is the kind of place where there's just a huge Italian guy sitting in a throne when you first walk in the door, and there are bars on the window.
And he was shaking everybody's hand walking. Oh, hello, hello, how are you? You come to me on the day of your daughter's wedding.
No, it's on the day of my daughter's wedding.
I know, but I said your daughter. So I can't believe you just called me out like that. Wow.
Well,
on a podcast. It's recorded. Oh, my gosh. Anyways,
so yeah, we didn't realize that all of the things on the menu at this Italian restaurant, and we were like going crazy. We were ordering red wine. And
we were like 2 bottles of red wine.
And we, you know, so we, by the time the food came, we were already like full on wine. And you also got like salads with your meal too. Yeah. So we got salads, breadsticks, and like 2 bottles of wine. And when our food came out, they brought like, for example, the eggplant parmesan was a whole fried eggplant sliced up, like the whole entire eggplant.
It was like 12 to 20 pieces. It was disgusting.
It was so much,
like, just
food. It was ridiculous. And so we realized that all the entrees that we just ordered were family sized entrees, and there were 4 of us. So,
and like, I just thought it was super fancy, like the cheapest thing is, the cheapest pasta is like $22. That's fancy.
It wasn't even that expensive because we only paid...
We paid $120 something.
Yeah, for our whole meal, but that was like after tip, and we also got like 2 bottles of wine.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying.
So the entrees were probably only like $11 to $15 because Anthony's is pretty cheap. It is. Why are you looking at me like that? High schoolers go there on dates.
Okay, mama.
We're about to look
up. If we're going to go ahead and look it up, because I definitely remember it being like... I mean, we're talking about $5. We're broke people, guys. Listen, $5 per entree to us is a fortune. That's, you can go to McDonald's for like 3 days on that. Are you kidding me? Look, she's going to pull it up. She's going to be upset. She's not even going to tell y'all that I was right.
How late are they open, first of all?
First of all, I think they're open until 8 or 10, depending.
Dinner menu.
Yes.
Oh, we also got toasted ravioli, too, as an appetizer. I forgot we got that because I can't turn that up. Okay, so you were more right than me.
Yeah, there we go. Jason, we got her to admit it, guys.
Oh, wait, no.
That's not what we got.
No, yes, it... What is this cat doing? Yes, it is, because this is what Emily got. Because she just wanted spaghetti, remember? And this is what Summer and I got. So I was right about at least me and Summer and Emily's entrees. I don't know. I can't remember what you ordered, but we ordered these because it came with dinner, salad, or soup.
Okay. So when I was looking at it, I was looking at the prices of
because this is the like things seafood, pasta.
The things that had meat in it were like $18 to $30, but all of the pasta that was just like regular pasta was anywhere from like 12 to 20. So like we were both right.
Okay, we were both right.
We were.
Yeah, bring friends because it just makes the whole experience a little bit more bearable. And our drive was a little over 13 hours when we were done with it. And if he had been driving the U-Haul, like if you'd been driving the U-Haul by yourself and I'd been driving the Jeep by ourselves, we probably would have gone crazy.
I mean, I would agree. I would have definitely had to download a lot more podcasts and things like that than I did. Like, I mean, there was like a whole stretch of time where me and Emily didn't even have anything really playing in the background. We were just like talking.
Yeah, because it was same thing with me and Summer. You just get so bored on the road that it's just like after a while listening to podcasts just isn't going to cut it.
Yeah. I mean, we were lucky that we didn't have to do a lot of turns. So we didn't really need a straight GPS shot for a long time. But I don't know. I think it was great that we had people other than us to talk to and people other than us to do things with because, I mean, you love your significant other, but... If you're doing something this stressful and we had been doing only stressful things for the last 2 months, it just gets to the point where you yell at each other every now and then because you just have to because there's just so much pent up everything, you know?
Yeah. So when you have friends there, it's a little bit of a barrier, I think. Okay. Last tip is the inspirational tip of the episode, and that is to just trust your decision. Don't look back. Don't worry about what you're leaving behind. Just trust that wherever you're moving to, you chose to do that because you're in search of a better, happier life for yourself. And even if where you move to is not where you end up staying, just taking that step to try and become the person that you want to be, you're going to learn either way from the process. So even if you end up hating where you live and moving back or moving somewhere different, the experience that you had of being brave and going to a new place is going to be worth the headache.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I think this is more for people like you too anyways, that we're like, you have to, because like for me, it's I wasn't going to look back because I'm a lot more go with the flow type when it comes to things like moving and where I'm living, because I don't really have a whole lot of preference with where I'm living or anything like that. But I don't know, I'm happy we came and I'm happy we're doing this, because I would have done it if it wasn't for you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't, not like I wouldn't have moved somewhere across the country, but I never would have picked.
It wouldn't have been here.
Yeah, it wouldn't have been here. Not for anything bad, just because I never would have thought about it.
Yeah. And it's fun. It's fun for both of us, and I'm really glad that we did it. And I'm, while it was stressful, I'm glad that we learned from it, and I'm glad that we have some tips to share with the good listeners of This is 20-something. So.
And hopefully the next time we do this, we won't have to do it on such a broke budget.
Yeah,
we can,
seriously.
We can just, we can have some fun with it, you know, make a whole, like, trip out of it. Like, yeah, we got a U-Haul out there, but you know what? Let's go stop at this resort. Why not?
Right. We'll see. Hopefully next time we move, it's like 30 minutes away.
Oh, God. Yeah, we're not doing another cross-country move this year.
Oh, my. Oh, no. Not in the next at least 10 years. We got to be here for like at least 10 years in this like region within under 10-hour drive.
Where are we going to move? Des Moines?
No, but we can move to like Colorado or Chicago. Those are under 10 hours. I just can't do another 10-hour plus move.
So you're telling me that that Alaska's out of the question?
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Well, I'm telling
you. At least for the next 10 years.
I'm telling you, I took a job.
Oh, my God. All right, everybody. I think that's a good place to end it.
So,
thank you for listening to
right on the border of Alaska and Canada. There's this place.
Shut up. Thank you for listening to this episode of This is 20-something. I hope that when you were listening to this, you weren't as stressed out and post-traumatically stressed as we were trying to think about our move. And hopefully these tips, since you get to learn from us instead of having to do it yourself, make the process a little bit easier for you. So if you want to keep up with us, you can find us on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at This is 20 Pod, or you can email any questions or concerns or comments or compliments that you have to thisis20pod@gmail.com. And thank you, Jason, for being my moving buddy and my life partner and my BFF.
Thank you for putting up with me.
We'll talk to you guys later. Bye. Hello, everyone. If you enjoyed today's episode, please head over to wherever you are listening to this podcast and leave us a review. It really does help boost us on those charts. Also, if you're wanting to keep up with us, you can follow us on social media. We are at ThisIs20Pod on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And if you like us so, so much that you would like to contribute to the production of this podcast, you can go to anchor.fm/thisis20pod and press that support this podcast button. Anything that you have to offer in the way of support would definitely be greatly appreciated, including just listening to this episode. Thank you so, so much for lending your ears and your time to taking in this media. I know there are a lot of other podcasts out there, and I'm so grateful you chose mine. I'll talk to you next time.